Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Maryland, U.S. Falun Dafa practitioners in the greater Washington area were invited to participate in the Thanksgiving Parade at Silver Spring, Maryland on November 16th. The popular event drew tens of thousands of people. Practitioners contributed a rousing waist drum team performance, a float bearing two young practitioners who demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises, and banners displaying the messages, "The world needs truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and Falun Dafa," in both English and Chinese languages. Maryland resident Mr. Xu was born in China. He has traveled to other Western countries, including Germany, and noticed that Falun Dafa is practiced overseas. "Only in China is Falun Dafa persecuted," he said. "Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is very good. It guides people to pursue good things." Mr. Xu added, "So many people in Western countries practice Falun Dafa." Parade watcher Devery commented on the Falun Dafa offering and said, "This is the best entry." Another spectator, Kirk, said that truthfulness, compassion, forbearance are really great. He added, "My heart absolutely resonates with it. I love this parade entry. Very beautiful."
Taiwan. The documentary State Organs: Unmasking Transplant Abuse in China exposes ongoing forced organ harvesting program carried out by the CCP against living prisoners of conscience, particularly Falun Gong practitioners in China. Despite efforts meant to discourage people from seeing the film, locals in Taiwan were not deterred from seeing the documentary. It was screened over 200 times in October. By November 10th, that number climbed to 287. Changhua County Councilor Chuang Shenghan said the council received threats that bombs would be detonated at theaters during the film's screenings. The Changhua Police Department investigated and conducted security checks at the county council and service center and ensured the safety of the screenings. One audience member said, "The way to respond to these threats is to play the film even more." Another audience member said, "Only by reading the book, Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party, will one not be misled by the CCP's propaganda." The chairperson of the Chai Bar Association, attorney Yang Qi-un-ya, saw the movie and shared that she hoped everyone can use their strength and international strength to urge the CCP to stop committing evil deeds and stop the persecution.
New Zealand. Falun Dafa practitioners held a rally on November 16th at Elizabeth Square in the city of Auckland to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the publication of the Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party. They did group exercise and displayed truth clarification banners. The Falun Dafa waist drum team also performed during the event. Human rights lawyer Carrie Gore addressed the rally and said, "Congratulations to the Quit Chinese Communist Party Service Center and members of the Falun Gong community with helping 438 million people to quit the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliated organizations." A supporter of Falun Dafa named Felix also addressed the rally. He said, "The publication of the Nine Commentaries is not only a record of words, but also a trial of history and a call for justice. It reveals the true face of the political movements, suppression, and systematic destruction of Chinese traditional culture since the CCP took power."
New York, USA. The U.S. Attorney's Office issued a press release on November 19th stating that the Southern District of New York sentenced California resident John Chen to 20 months in prison for acting as an unregistered agent of the government of the People's Republic of China for transnational repression of Falun Gong. Co-defendant Lin Feng, also a California resident, received a 16-month prison term on September 26th of this year. In addition to the prison term, Chen, 71, of Chino, California, was sentenced to 3 years of probation and was ordered to pay $50,000. According to Damian Williams, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Chen was sentenced because he attempted to bribe an individual he believed to be an IRS agent. It was part of a plot to target U.S.-based practitioners of Falun Gong, a spiritual practice banned in China. Williams said during the press conference, "This office will not tolerate efforts like this to repress free speech by targeting critics of the People's Republic of China in the United States." Today's sentence is a reminder that the U.S. justice system will hold accountable those who attempt to engage in malicious transnational repression on American soil.
Taiwan. An estimated 5,300 practitioners from Taiwan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, Macau, and Mongolia presented a character formation event on Liberty Square in Taipei on November 17th. Utilizing their bodies seated on different colored mats, practitioners formed a fallen emblem and the Chinese characters for Falun Dafa's core principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. This year's grand display was the largest to date and caught the attention of tourists from all over the world. Practitioner Ms. Hu Chun-mei pointed out that these are not only principles that guide practitioners, but those who do not practice Falun Dafa are also drawn to them. Professor Shou-Sung Shan, chairman of the Taiwan Falun Dafa Association, said, "In today's world where morals have declined, humanity is losing hope. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance serve as a beacon of light, pointing the way for people to return to the origin. The world needs truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, so I hope more people get to know about Falun Dafa and its benefits through this grand display." Practitioners did the exercises together after the character formation activity. They also gratefully displayed a banner containing the message, "Master's Infinite Grace," as a show of respect to Master Li, the founder of Falun Dafa.
South Korea. The South Korea Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference was held on November 10th at the KT Human Resource Development Center in the city of Daejeon. 10 practitioners from across the country shared how Falun Dafa encouraged improvement in both their character and health and led to blessings. Mr. Kang from Tongyang in Gimnam explained what the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance mean to him. As a fireman, he is under constant pressure. He turned to alcohol for stress relief and suffered from various illnesses. Shortly after he began practicing Falun Dafa, Mr. Kang quit drinking alcohol and regained his health. He was able to take good care of his family and his hot temper was gone. This brought peace and harmony to the family. He is polite at work, and even during emergencies, he is able to place others first. Mr. Kang also reported on his truth clarification experiences at tourist attractions at Jeju Island, Samu Park, and Siongsan Ilchubong. He said, "No matter where I am, I always follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance." Conference attendees said that they were inspired by the cultivation experience reports and spurred to reflect upon their own paths to improve.
France. Falun Dafa practitioners held an informational event in La Défense, a suburb of Paris, on November 12th. They demonstrated the exercises and held a signature drive to gather support for ending the CCP's brutal persecution, which includes live organ harvesting from imprisoned practitioners. many people were shocked by the CCP's persecution of people who follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and signed the petition. An informational event was also held on November 17th at Anthony Train Station Square in the southern suburbs of Paris. The activities attracted the attention of many local residents and tourists.
Bali, Indonesia. Falun Dafa practitioners gathered at the Ikutut Maria Art Building in the city of Tabanan on the morning of November 10th to read the Falun Dafa teachings and discuss their cultivation experiences. One practitioner who is a police officer shared that he was recently mistreated at work by his supervisor. Despite his excellent performance, he was slapped and kicked in front of others. At first, he could not accept this humiliation. After looking within, he realized that this was part of karmic debts he owed in the past. He decided to let go of the attachment and was able to pass this test. In the afternoon, the practitioners went to the Bung Karno Park and did the Falun Dafa exercises. Impressed by their graceful movements, many passers-by expressed interest in learning about Falun Dafa. More than 100 people signed a petition to help stop the persecution of the practice by the CCP in China.
Canada. The Tian Guo Marching Band participated in 5 Christmas parades in communities across the province of Ontario on November 16th and 17th. Many families come together to watch these events. The band played in the town of New Market's Santa Claus Parade at lunchtime on November 16th. They also performed in the Santa Claus parades held in the cities of Hamilton and London later that afternoon and evening. On November 17th, the band participated in the Santa Claus Parade in the town of Milton in the afternoon, followed by a performance in the community of Newcastle in early evening. The band brought Christmas blessings to the communities and shared the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance with local residents. People responded with applause and cheers and expressed their support and appreciation.
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Mr. Yan Shu Guang of Chaoyang City, Liaoning Province, died on October 16, 2024, while serving an 11-year term for suing Zhang Zemin, the former head of the Chinese Communist regime who ordered the persecution of his faith, Falun Gong. He was 66. In May of 2015, the Chinese Supreme People's Procuratorate and Supreme People's Court announced that they would accept all cases filed with them. This triggered a tidal wave of criminal lawsuits from Falun Gong practitioners around the world against Zhang Zemin's instrumental role in initiating the persecution. In Chaoyang City, a task force was established to prosecute Falun Gong practitioners who sued Zhang. Over 300 practitioners, including Mr. Yan, were arrested on November 9, 2015. Mr. Yan was later sentenced to 11 years in prison. On October 12, 2024, his family received a call from the prison saying that Mr. Yan was in critical condition. When they rushed to the Shenyang 10th Hospital, he was already unconscious. The prison released Mr. Yan on medical parole 2 days later. He passed away on October 16th at the age of 66. In addition to Mr. Yan, 3 other practitioners who were sentenced for suing Zhang also passed away due to prison torture.
Ms. Jen Rongjian from Xiang City, Hubei Province, had become incapacitated and unable to walk on her own by the time she had completed a 6-month prison term for her faith in Falun Gong in September 2024. The 72-year-old woman was also in a confused state and couldn't recognize family members. Ms. Jen was in perfect health before being admitted to the Hubei Province Women's Prison in March 2024, her family suspected that she had been given toxic drugs and/or ruthlessly tortured while in prison. Ms. Jen, a retired accountant, was arrested in October 2021 after she placed a Falun Gong brochure on a car belonging to then-chief of the Xianming City Police Department. She was arrested and taken to a detention center. Her husband later managed to have her released on bail. Jen was sentenced to a six-month prison term in the fall of 2023. She was taken back into custody in March 2024.
Ms. Zhao Ying of Guangzhou City, Guangdong Province, was denied parole after she was sentenced to a 3.5-year term for her faith in Falun Gong, even though she is struggling with several serious medical conditions, including bladder cancer, heart condition, and diabetes. Ms. Zhao, in her 80s, was arrested on April 26, 2021. By two plainclothes officers. The police tried to have her admitted to a detention center several times, but they were unsuccessful due to her high blood pressure. She was released on bail 2 weeks later. However, the local police continued to harass her. The mental pressure from the arrest and subsequent harassment took a toll on Ms. Zhao's health. She fainted at home on December 12, 2021. And was diagnosed with bladder cancer. She was operated on twice and had several rounds of chemotherapy and immunotherapy. Despite Ms. Zhao's condition, she was taken into police custody in August this year and was made to stand trial and sentenced to 3.5 years with a 5,000 yuan fine on October 29, 2024. In addition to the bladder cancer, Ms. Zhao is also coping with heart disease and diabetes, yet the authorities have refused to release her on medical parole. Her family is very worried about her.
A 67-year-old disabled woman was tortured while serving 5 years for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Tian Yuji lost her right hand due to an accident decades ago. She became depressed and lost hope in life. After she took up Falun Gong, she became upbeat again. For talking to people about Falun Gong at a community market, Ms. Tian was arrested on May 16, 2023. She was sentenced to 5 years shortly after and admitted to the Jilin Province Women's Prison. While in prison, she was forced to sit motionlessly on a small stool with an uneven surface for over 10 hours a day. Whenever her posture deviated from their requirements, the prison guards would tie her legs to the legs of the stool, which caused her calves to be severely swollen. Unable to endure the torture anymore, Ms. Tian refused to sit on the small stool. In retaliation, guards sprayed spicy water onto her face with the excuse that she disrupted the prison order. The water was so pungent that the inmates in the 11 cells nearby all coughed, and the smell didn't go away until days later. They also poured cold water onto Ms. Tian. They didn't allow her to change her clothes, but instead opened a window to let the cold wind blow on her. As Ms. Tian refused to give up Falun Gong, despite the torture, the guards beat her even harder and claimed that she had skin disease when her body was covered with bruises from the beating. Washington, D.C. legislators and dignitaries moved by the International Art Exhibition. The Art of Jen Chanren International Exhibition was held in the Rayburn Building of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. from November 12 to November 15. Members of Congress, over 100 staffers, former White House officials, reporters in Congress, local officials from multiple U.S. states and European countries, representatives of international organizations, and visitors to Congress viewed the paintings and were thereby introduced to Falun Gong. The CCP's brutal persecution of the peaceful practice was also clearly exposed. Representative Don Bacon from Nebraska viewed the artworks on November 13th and was interviewed. He said, "The artwork is beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous. Every piece, very classical art." The congressman added, "The world needs to have moral clarity about the immorality of China." He said that the next Congress will put a spotlight on the CCP. Congressman Bacon stressed, "They want to pretend there's nothing wrong. Our job is to keep putting a spotlight on it, and it's important." Igor Stoyanovich, Vice President of the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, viewed the paintings on November 13th. He shared, "This art exhibition is very important. If we don't fight for the belief of every man on the earth, then civilization is very questionable." The Association of Indiana County's Executive Director, David Boterf, viewed the paintings after visiting members of Congress. "This art exhibition was his first contact with Falun Dafa, and he said he will find out more through a local group in Indiana." U.S. Congressional staffer Kaden Eskin stood in front of the two paintings for a long time. He said he was deeply moved to see that such young children were persecuted to death with their mothers, and that so many children were affected by this persecution. Mr. Eskin said, "No one should be affected by this at all, but the fact that children are also affected by the CCP, it is just disgusting. Whenever children are involved, it's heartbreaking. Something needs to be done." Director Banyan Vassar of Information Technology for the Committee on Education and the Workforce in Congress was touched after viewing the paintings. He said that he was deeply inspired by the paintings and saw that they showed the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, qualities that belong to humanity. Matthew Haggerty, a public school teacher from Pennsylvania, took his students to see the exhibition while attending a meeting in Washington. Mr. Haggerty said that many of the students were visiting Congress for the first time. "This was a very touching exhibition, and the paintings left a deep impression on them." Myrtle Alexander, former candidate for D.C. delegate to the House of Representatives, passed by the exhibition before meeting with colleagues in Congress and was moved by the experience. She said, "As you walk around and you look and you see, my goodness, could this come here? Could this be us? Could that be me? Could that be one of my family members? Could that be one of my friends?" At one point, Ms. Alexander shared, "You can harm the body, but you can't kill the soul." Indiana's 2024 Emergency Medical Technician of the Year, Mr. John Robert Hathaway Jr., was the recipient of the Star of Life Award. He viewed the paintings on November 13th. He said he felt hope from the exhibition, since faith is indestructible, especially the positive and kind faith that justice will eventually triumph over evil.
Oscar-nominated documentary film State Organs spurs American audiences to action. American audiences were stunned by the documentary State Organs, Unmasking Transplant Abuse in China. It premiered at the Angelica Cinema in the East Village neighborhood of Manhattan, New York, on November 9th. Program moderator Roman Balmakov, film director Raymond Zhang, and the president of the World Organization for Investigating the Persecution of Falun Gong, Dr. Wang Zhiyuan, participated in a discussion after the premiere. In an interview, Dr. Wang pointed out that the film reveals the CCP's crime of live organ harvesting that has been happening since 1999, and called it an unprecedented evil. He said that although the issue was exposed in 2006, the public still does not know enough about it. Dr. Wong emphasized that this crime against humanity undermines the moral bottom line of humankind, and as such, it is closely related to everyone. He called on the public to actively spread the truth and work together to stop this persecution. He said the film shows the core values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance through real stories, bringing hope and strength to people. Peabody Award winner Raymond Zhang is the director of the film. After the screening, he answered questions from the audience, which included information concerning bomb threats that several theaters in Taiwan received in October when they showed the film. In a statement released on October 9th, Taiwan's Criminal Investigation Bureau said the bomb threats were sent from overseas IP addresses through VPN proxies. The Bureau said no explosive devices were found in any theaters and called on the public to remain calm. The documentary was screened in Manhattan, New York for 1 week from November 15th to the 21st. 5 shows were offered daily. In the U.S. state of Delaware, the film was shown in the city of Wilmington on November 9th. A discussion session was held after the show. Many attendees of the program said that they would write their federal senators asking them to pass the Falun Gong Protection Act to help stop the CCP's atrocities. That bill was passed by the U.S. House of Representatives in June this year and is currently being considered by the U.S. Senate. It aims to sanction individuals and entities involved in live organ harvesting. Retired lawyer Richard Kieger said, "What shocked me most was the cruelty of the CCP. Imagine that a person's organs were removed alive without even anesthesia." He continued, "I didn't know the numbers were so huge, and I didn't know it had developed into an industry." This film clearly shows that this is not only a tragedy, but a systematic, profit-driven industry that targets innocent people. Monica Johnson, a retired freight industry executive, watched the film and said, "For me, it was a learning experience." Ms. Johnson knew nothing about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners and the organ harvesting. She said, "But now that I know, I will definitely tell my friends. People need to know this. This is a modern Holocaust. This is not something that happened 100 or 200 years ago, but something that is happening in our time." She added, "I plan to start talking to my friends about this matter at dinner tonight. It is important to spread this information. Because if you learn something new from history, you should not keep it to yourself." Real estate agent Yasmin Bowman had heard only sporadic reports about organ harvesting in the news before. She said, "I knew it was a problem, but I didn't know how widespread it was." The film makes it clear that this is not just a problem, but a large-scale coordinated action. It's simply a massacre. She mentioned intending to contact her senators about the issue and doing research to learn more about it. She added, "I don't know what else I can do now, but I know I can't do nothing."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China, and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.